Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to this week's African American Family Room Forum, presented to you by Reality Books, our sponsor. I am your host, Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, and this program is also advertised under the title of Booker T. Washington Speaks. And I am the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, who achieved fame back in the late 1800s and early 1900s as the leader and the first president of Tuskegee Institute, which it was known as Tuskegee Institute up until the 1980s when it became Tuskegee University. And in addition to his fame as an educator, he also became a very prominent spokesman for the cause of African-American upliftment. And so I'm proud and happy to be able to represent to you, our listening audience tonight, his views on many subjects. Some of the things that he actually espoused are somewhat outdated now, and I only promote those things which still have application in today's world. But one of the reasons why we have this program is so that we can look at relevant topics that pertain to the life of African Americans and talk about them. Not that we expect that we're going to all agree, because we probably will always have individual differences of opinion, but as a family, and I see our African-American community nationally as really being an extended family, we should be able to talk to each other, even if we don't actually always agree. And so we've chosen a rather provocative topic each week so that we can simulate a really good conversation, something to make us think. And the topic for tonight's program is this: does President Trump's stopping the issuance of low-skill workers' visas for Haitians represent white racism? Let me repeat that. Does President Trump stopping the issuance of low-skill workers' visas for Haitians represent white racism? Now, you may or may not be familiar with that issue. That's a very recent news item. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background about that. Just give me 1 second. I'm going to pull up something that pertains to this particular topic because it does generate a good conversation. And we know that it is alleged, and somebody told me I need to be careful that I say alleged rather than make a declaratory statement that he actually said this. So anyway, what the situation here is about, I'll read a broadcasted news item that appeared on NBC News on the 17th of January. And this was actually written by one of the writers for NBC by the name of Suzanne Gamboa. And I'll quote this. The Trump administration is moving to prohibit people from Haiti. And of course, we know that Haiti is a very predominantly black nation in the Caribbean, which was for a while under the domination of the French until Toussaint Louverture raised an army, many people who had been slaves or were slaves, to fight against the army of Napoleon Bonaparte, and they actually won the war against the French colonial domination and became independent, even though the French maintained, to some extent, a lot of influence in Haiti. But it says in the article that the Trump administration is moving to prohibit people from Haiti, which the president allegedly, and I say allegedly, insulted in a meeting last week. And I'm going to ask if I can get a radio check from someone just to make sure I am going out. So, Jackie, if you're on, could you tell me if you hear the broadcast?
Yes, I hear the broadcast.
Okay, thank you. So that checks us out, and appreciate that. So let me continue. Said he move to prohibit people from Haiti from applying for visas. Of course, a visa is a permit to enter a foreign country, from applying for visas for seasonal and farm workers. And that wasn't the only group. He also low-skill workers that weren't necessarily farm workers. And it says the Department of Homeland Security has given notice it plans to prohibit people from Haiti as well as Belize. And Belize used to be known as British Honduras, which is a predominant black country in Central America where the main language spoken there is English. And also Samoa, which is a black country in the Pacific. That the Department of Homeland Security has given notice that it plans to prohibit people from Haiti as well as Belize and Samoa from applying for a certain category of temporary visas. And it says these visas, or those visas, allow businesses to bring in workers from other countries. So in other words, what would happen under these visas is that a particular business, let's say for an example, like a produce business, would send agents to some place like Haiti to recruit workers to come and pick crops, pick fruit or whatever, vegetables, and they would arrange for these people to get temporary work permits to come to America for particular jobs. It says that's the one type of visa. Another type is for people to come to work over here in places like resorts. And it says that they had given this reason. They had given this reason why they didn't want these people to come. One of the reasons that they said was that Haitians applying for the visas present extremely high rates of refusal. Now, I'm not quite sure what that means, but it kind of indicates that the government is refusing to let these people come even before this ruling had been passed for some reason. And it said that Haitians who have been granted these work visas have demonstrated high levels of fraud and abuse and a high rate of overstaying the visas in terms overstaying the terms of their admission. In other words, once they got settled here, they tried to evade going back when the visa time was up. And so that's really what the issue is. But the question is, it said the move eliminates the only U.S. work visas that almost everyone in Haiti can apply to get. And it said the number of Haitians who get the visa is in the hundreds, but it doesn't say more than that about the numbers. But they have other kinds of visas that require higher skill levels. Of course, most of the Haitians are probably, from what this says, don't qualify for the higher skill level or higher education level visas. It says most Haitians don't qualify for family-sponsored visas. And because of the number of Haitians already in the U.S., the diversity visa lottery is not open to them. And then this person who is a senior fellow at the Center for Global Development says the move eliminates the only U.S. work visas that almost everyone in Haiti can apply to get. And he said that barring Haitians from the visa will encourage illegal migration to the U.S. and hurt the U.S. economy. And he said that Haitian farm workers on this agricultural worker visa that I have studied in Alabama added $4,000 per worker to the U.S. economy per month. It's a pretty substantial amount, depending on how many people have these visas, and it said that they number in the hundreds. So still, that could amount to several millions of dollars just for that one state. And we'll stop right there. It does refer back to the comment that President Trump allegedly made about Haiti. And one of the things he said, other than the one that's been popularized, about calling these countries, I just call them spithole countries. I didn't want to say the real word he said. He said, why do we need more Haitians? Take them out. So with all that having been said, the question is, does President Trump stopping the issuance of low-skilled workers visas for Haitians represent white racism? So think about that for just a second. The mics are going to open here in just a second. We've got several callers. And let's hear what you have to say about that particular issue. Anyone that wants to go ahead and speak up, just go ahead, please, and just let us hear what's on your mind. Silence, because I guess everybody's waiting to hear what somebody else might want to say. And we don't really know if maybe you're just maybe being shy or haven't thought about the issue, maybe don't have enough information. But think about it. You know, he's already come out and said he doesn't want these people coming to America. And now he's saying that he's told the Department of Homeland Security not to let them come, even if they have jobs that have been guaranteed working in farm work or whatever. So does this indicate some type of white racism on the president's part? What do you think? I do want to mention something just so you'll understand the nature of the program. I know many people are used to tuning in on their regular radio dials, FM or AM radio dials, and just listening to other people that like to call in and speak. And then, of course, you may also have gotten accustomed to looking at television programs where there's a panel of experts that have some knowledge of the topic, and they are maybe four or five people sharing their thoughts. And so the people that want to just listen are free to do that. But we don't have a specialized panel that's going to sit and talk among ourselves to give the audience information. You are the panel. So if you have no desire to participate to give any input, that's entirely up to you. But what will happen is if nobody wants to actually talk about the subject, then somebody might have something they do want to talk about, and we could shift gears and talk about that. I just picked this topic because I know that it is something that could stimulate a good conversation. But if you would rather talk about something else that you're interested in, you can just come online and just introduce the topic that you want to talk about. So let's go ahead and do either one, but let's talk. So does anyone want to talk about the subject that we have presented? Does President Trump's stopping the issuance of skilled workers' visas for Haitians represent white racism? That's the topic.
Hello.
I chose.
But
alaykum salam. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Rashida Salim from Rockford. I don't know what
yeah,
I had
to
say
voice,
that.
Sister Rashida. Yes.
Yeah, and I saw the subject, and I think if I had another word to use instead of white racism, or is it white supremacy? You know, maybe that's what it could be looked at as too, because I don't really like to always say racism, racism, racism. And I guess it's looking back to the root of it all. And it might not be racism, and it could be white supremacy. You know, just wanting, you know, because of the images, it could almost go back to the images and worship, maybe, if we could think about that. You know, they're thinking that well, anyway, I'll just stop right there, and maybe somebody else can kind of look at it, you know, think of look at it in another way too, and we can get more to the root of it. Because when you say that racism, that's kind of like a charge word, and it stops us from thinking about the roots of it.
That's a good point, Sister Rashida, and we appreciate your input. Does anybody want to respond to what Sister Christina Rashida Salim just shared with us?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead, please.
This is Sister Rashida that you
Okay, Sister Rashida, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. Could you speak just a little bit louder, though?
Well, my thoughts are just define racism and white supremacy. And what is the real difference when people are being unfair and there is injustice? Injustice is just injustice. And we got to, you know, I do love my president, but he's an idiot. And when you have an idiot in high places, you know what you're going to get. I love people. And there are some bad people that I love, that I care about, and hope that they would change. But I know people that make bad decisions. And it just, he's just an idiot. But he's our president, and what can you do about it? How do you approach the solution? to that? How do you help the Haitian people? What can you do? But again, racism, white supremacy, all of this injustice, prejudice towards a group of people. So what is the solution?
Yes.
And what is the definition? How can we help them?
Yes.
What can we do? And I'll stop there.
Yes.
Okay, well, I hear Sister Christina Rashida Salim agreeing with you. Did you want to add something else, Sister Rashida, from Rockford, to what Sister Rashida from Louisiana just said?
Well, yeah, I'm not, I really don't talk a lot, you know, because it's like I kind of like have to maybe listen and then talk and then listen and talk. But I will say this part here. It's like we didn't understand, at least I didn't understand until it was brought up when I first became Muslim about images of divine, you know, putting Jesus or God as being white, and how that's damaged everybody, Caucasians and everybody else. And when it was explained to me about that's the root of a lot of things, when I understood it, it did set me free as far as how we shouldn't have images in worship. And that's the root of a lot of things. So if we can talk about that, then we might be able to help, if you wanted to be helped, anybody, Caucasians or anybody that's white, that's benefiting from the image being, the image of God being white, or him having a son that's white, and them, you know, European or white people thinking that they're better. That would free all of us if we would just talk about that a little bit also, so you can get to the root of it, because, you know, it's a bad thing for both races, or people of color and people, European people.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Rashida Salim. We want to give a definition. This is actually a Wikipedia definition. Now, Wikipedia 5-6 years ago was considered to be an unreliable source because the contributors didn't have to prove very good documentation for their sources, and some of the research might have been rather sloppy according to academic standards. So as professors, which that's what I do, we were told not to allow our students to use Wikipedia, but that's changed in the last 3 years. And now the people that are in charge of Wikipedia have become much more stringent in having their contributors provide good, strong documentation for their articles. So this particular article that appeared in Wikipedia under the title Racism, and I'm doing this so we'll have at least a common definition. It says, quote, racism is the belief in the superiority of one race over another. Racism is the belief in the superiority of one race over another. And, of course, white racism, the inference would be that it is the belief in the superiority of the white race over other races, which often results in discrimination and prejudice towards people based on their race or ethnicity. But it goes on to say that today the use of the term racism does not easily fall under a single definition. And then it goes on to say further, the ideology underlying racist practices often includes the idea that humans can be divided into distinct groups distinct groups that are different due to their social behavior and their innate, that means basically God-given, capabilities, as well as the idea that they can be ranked as inferior or superior. So that's the definition. If anybody wants me to repeat it, I'll be glad to do that. I do want to very, very quickly and very briefly address what Sister Rashida Saleem just said, because I'm familiar with that particular position, being a follower, a student, I'd rather say student, than follower of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. I remember back in the 80s when he proposed that particular, what I would say, sociological presentation of the psychological influence of presenting the white Jesus on a cross, that many people were raised around that image. I know I was, because as a child, I went to the Catholic school, and on the wall in front of the class that all the students had to look at, because it was right over the, what we used to have blackboards instead of the whiteboards like today, right over the center of the blackboard in every classroom, which we had to look at 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, was a picture of a Caucasian hanging on a cross. And then we were told that this was the Son of God, and we were supposed to worship him. And the image was that anybody that was related to that person was superior. Not necessarily that they would be morally superior, but they were innately superior. Now, they didn't come right out in the Catholic school and say that, but that was the inference that gradually seeped into our consciousness or subconsciousness, being in a segregated environment. And this was just in the Catholic schools. You could go in the Baptist churches or Methodist churches, or maybe even some of the other churches, of course, the Episcopal Church, and you could see the same image. And the Imam W.D. Muhammad said, you know, imagine what kind of effect it would have if they had a picture of a black person set up as an object of worship over the white people in their schools. You know, they wouldn't go for it. I can say that right now. They wouldn't allow it. But we had no choice, because we didn't run the school. So in the Catholic Church, if we wanted to go to Catholic school, we had to sit up there and watch it. But the point they're really trying to get at is that racism goes back a very, 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 very long ways. It didn't just start in the United States history. You know, it goes back to ancient history. It goes all the way back. You can go back to the history of the European people, where they didn't call their racism like black versus white. It was tribalism. But the people from Southern Europe were looked down upon by the people from Northern Europe. And it wasn't so much because of their color. It was because of their culture, because of differences in their cultural traits. The people that were living up in what's called Germany today, look at the people who live further south in France and Italy as being more savage than they were, and they were all savages. But there's always, going back thousands of years, been some form of ethnic prejudice. Now, in America, the ethnic prejudice was in two ways. One was the Europeans against the Indians, American Native Indians, and the other was against the Africans. But that didn't stop there, because when the Nordic people, who you can include the English and the Scandinavian people, as they settled in America, and later the more darker type of Caucasians, like from places like Italy and even France and Spain, came over here, but particularly the people from Italy, they were looked down upon because they had a darker hue than the Scandinavians. So what we're trying to deal with right here, though, is whether or not this policy, this government policy of saying we don't want people from this black country of Haiti and this black country of Samoa and this black country of Belize, but mainly Haiti, coming over here anymore. These poor people, specifically these poor people that are coming over here to get these low-paying, low-skilled jobs. And the question is does that represent white racism? And again, it says racism, according to the definition here, is belief in the superiority of one race over another. So do you believe or don't you believe that President Trump is representing a concept that these people are inferior to the people that he wants to raise up to make America great again? What do you think? What do you think?
Well, should we look at the Constitution, maybe judge it from that and not by what he's saying, but what America was really founded on?
That's a good question. Does anybody want to address that? I have an answer, but I've talked so much, I don't want to keep monopolizing the responses. So does anybody else want to respond to what Sister Rashida just asked? The Constitution. Let's think about the Constitution. First of all, I'm a history professor, so I deal with teaching the Constitution every semester. That's mainly what I teach about is the American founding of the American Republic and the Constitution. And when you look at the Constitution, why was there a Constitution in the first place? You know, America didn't always have a Constitution, did it? I don't want to sound like a school teacher, but did it? It didn't always have a Constitution. Up until 1789, when the Constitution was ratified, and actually up until around 1783, when the Articles of Confederation were ratified, and certainly up until the Treaty of Paris, when the government of England decided to release the colonies from the dominion of Great Britain. The Constitution of Great Britain, which really wasn't a written constitution, but it was a set of understandings of the rights of the, we don't call those people citizens, they were called subjects, but the English people over a period of time had determined that the subjects of the king or queen had certain rights. And the understanding was their constitution. It wasn't written like our constitution. So the American colonists fell under that. But later, when they became free, they decided they needed to have a constitution. And why did they want a constitution? Well, we're going to see what did they say. Because in their what's called preamble to the constitution, they state the reason why they wanted to have a constitution. And this is what they said. These were the representatives from the colonies that came together to form this nation. And they said, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, in other words, to bring them together to unite the colonies, which previously had not been united as a body, but were united only in that they were all subject to the king or queen, and also to establish justice and ensure domestic tranquility, that means peace and security, and provide for the common defense, meaning to be able to raise an army to fight against common enemies, whether they were Indian tribes or whether they were foreign armies or navies, and promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution. So those are the reasons why the Constitution was developed. But now, first of all, they didn't consider the African slaves to even be people. And when they finally did have to come up with some type of categorization, they said, okay, we'll consider them as three-fifths of a person. But they never did, in developing the Constitution, consider the African slaves or even their descendants as being the people of the United States. So we have to understand the Constitution, when it was originally designed, had no concern for giving these things to the black people. But later, after slavery, with the passage of the 14th and 15th Amendments, then the black people who had formerly been slaves and others became the people of the United States because they became citizens. But even then, they never did revise that part that distinguished them as being less than 100% human. And we have to understand that there's some subconscious message in that. But the real fact is that this, what we would call white superiority ideology, came with the influx of Europeans. And it wasn't just dealing with the black people, it was dealing with the Indians as well. So if the president feels that these dark-skinned people from Haiti and Belize and Samoa and other places don't fit in with what his idea is of the people of the United States, we've got to look at what was the root of that. And I agree with you, Sister Rashida. It goes back. But the imagery is really just a sign of something deeper. The imagery didn't start the problem. And imagery has been a part of religious indoctrination for thousands and thousands of years. But the concept of this racial superiority goes way back. And the thing about it, it seems like it's trying to raise its ugly head again in this current administration. It just seems that way. Maybe some people think differently. What are your thoughts? Please respond, anyone. Well, you know, I think back, and I've been thinking about this all week, to the 1960s, when we had a strong core of young leaders. For an example, you know, we had people like Stokely Carmichael, and also Huey Newton, and Bobby Seale, and H. Rapp Brown, who's now known as Imam Jamal El-Amin. And we had people like Elgis Cleaver and his wife then, Kathleen Cleaver, and Angela Davis, and many others. Even some of the real, what I would say, grassroots people from down south. And I can name off a bunch of names. But the fact is that they spoke a lot differently than our leaders speak today. Even Martin Luther King was mild speaking compared to Stokely Carmichael, who basically usurped his influence in the black community by 1966. Martin Luther King's influence had been basically overshadowed by Stokely Carmichael's influence, because Stokely went around to the black colleges and roused up the black consciousness of people with his black power movement. And so I thought about this and I said, well, you know, I don't sound like a black power radical because I'm not a black power radical. And I can hear people think, well, you should probably promote yourself as a human power advocate, but I'm going to go further than that. I'm a God power advocate, because if you don't have God power, the human power is going to become corrupted quickly by the satanic influences that are all around us. So the thing about it is, you believe that God wants people to be pushed out of the opportunities that they are looking for just because they're brown or black skinned people? I don't think so. So if you see an incident where a leader of a country seems to be doing that, we can call it whatever name we want to call it. I just say it racism because that's what the common expression is. But does it seem like that he's trying to put the dark-skinned people in an inferior position, and even worse, to keep them from being able to take advantage of the work opportunities in America just because they're dark people? That's really the question right there. Why it's like that, what's the history of it? I could get into that, but without even going that deep, what do you think? Do you think he's doing that? Just think about it for a minute. What do you think? Do you think that he's actually trying to keep these people from these black or brown colored populations from having a shot at working? And they don't mind working, not just the preference, but they don't mind working for the very, very minimum wages, picking fruit and vegetables in the hot sun just so they can have some kind of income to get themselves established over here, and also maybe send something back home to help their family members not to starve. But he doesn't want, the president doesn't want these people. He said it. He doesn't want these people, you know. But he said he would rather, this is what he was allegedly supposed to have said, he would rather have people from the northern European countries, you know, what are those countries? People like the English and the Swedes, the Danish, people from up in those Nordic type of countries, which if you translate that, he's saying those really white people. It seems like that's what he's been putting out, and a lot of people agree and say that is what he means. What do you think? I'm asking you, what do you think? But I have to be honest with you and tell you all this. This program is being abbreviated tonight for the simple reason that I just got in from an activity. I've been going since 5:30 this morning, nonstop almost. Had a short break, just a very short break, maybe a 30-minute break. My day started with going to the mosque this morning for the morning prayer, which we prayed at 6:30. I got up around 5:15 to get out of the house on time. And it's been a long day. And last night, I spoke on the other radio broadcast, internet radio broadcast, for one whole hour nonstop on the topic of solving the African-American dilemma. And I actually reiterated or repeated a transcription of one of the speeches of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. But still, even reading the text for an hour, that's quite a job. If you've ever had to give a speech, you know that to speak for an hour is not easy. For some people, maybe, but not for me. 20 minutes when I agree to go to places where I'm invited to speak, I tell people out front, don't expect me to speak in more than 20 minutes, 30 minutes at the very, very maximum, but I prefer 20 minutes. So I'm not planning to speak for the remaining time that we have left, and so I abbreviated this show to end at 9 p.m. rather than our usual 10 p.m. because of the very, very strenuous day I've had today. So that means that if you want to say anything, you're probably going to have to say it really quickly because in the next 12 minutes, we'll be finished with tonight's program. So if you've been holding back, this is your opportunity to get in there and let us hear what you have to say. Well, I would hope that someone would have an opinion that has not been expressed already. But I see that our friend, our very welcome panelist, Mr. Bianchi, has arrived. Mr. Bianchi, I have to apologize, but I had to cut the show hours short tonight because it's been a very strenuous day for me, and this won't happen frequently, but there may be occasions where we won't go for the 2 hours we normally schedule. And so we are down to the wire now with about 15 minutes left. And you can have the whole 15 minutes.
You know,
because
I hear this stuff all the time about Donald Trump, who I think is a great good president thus far, especially with his issues and his concerns about immigration. His alleged statements about Haiti and African countries, which there are shitty conditions in those countries. You know, we could talk about those all the time. And, you know, comparing, you know, Norway, which has a population of 5 million people, they have 40,000 Africans that's working there who left their country to go work there. The annual income in Haiti is about $700 a year. In Norway, it's about $70,000. The crime rate in Norway is probably 1% per 100,000, where in Haiti, you know, no telling where it is. So if people was going to go vacation, where do you think they would go? And
well, let me just say this, if you're asking me, they love to go to the Caribbean, regardless of what's happening away from the resorts.
What's happening away from the resorts? Yeah, the resorts is a whole new world. But they go to Norway to ski and everything else. I mean, you remember when Haiti won the bobsled? Was entered in the bobsled competition in the Olympics? Wasn't it in Norway where they went to train?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Remember
back
that year?
Far, but no, I don't. I don't remember it. But tell us
that
about.
That wasn't
it.
Too far back.
Yeah.
But
I don't really keep up
that.
With the activities.
You only hear the bad thing. Nobody talks about how Nigeria is very pleased with him. Nigerian, not everybody in Nigeria, but some areas. How he provided their government with the opportunity to buy weapons in order to fight off the terrorists. And, you know, we could go on and on and on. But I look at the issues, as I said before. Look what they just done made available for those who was using the 529 plan to save for college education. You can now use that money for your child's education from kindergarten on through high school, through college. I think that's good, don't you?
Yeah, I personally think it's very good.
Yeah, but you never would have seen that under Hillary Clinton or any other Democrat. They are totally against any form of choice that I've ever witnessed when it comes down to parents making a decision where to put their child's education. The tax plan. You keep hearing how this tax reform is going to create a $1 trillion deficit. Well, yes. You know why it's going to create a $1 trillion deficit? Because the money is not going to be collected as taxes. It's going to stay with the people in their pockets. And the deficit means that programs that they was using the money to run, and some of those programs are failures. Well, if you don't have the revenue, cut the expenditures. I mean, is that how you do it? If your job furlough you 2 days out of a week, would people start thinking about getting rid of their cable subscription? Where they have NBA and NFL viewership, they're paying extra. Well, you get rid of those things. You can no longer afford them. And then again, too, with people putting the money back in their pockets, no telling what all that they may do to improve their lives. So these one-way slanted stories about this president, if Donald Trump was a black man, the race car would be soaring all through the sky. The sky would be black, would be so many race cars scoring around. So I don't know what else to say. And then, too,
well,
look at these Republicans. For the last 7 years, they've been complaining about they want this and want that. But now he has put that in their lap. Now what are they doing with it? Both sides are ratchets, really. You surely can't say these inner cities that's been ran by Democratic politics for ages. Where are they? Look at Southside Chicago. Is that a beautiful place to be? And you got Democrats there that wanted to bring the UN in order to address the problem with their gang activity. And they make mention about Haiti when you had Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras, who was given, people from those countries was given temporary stays here in the United States. That goes back 11 years or more. And then, too, you got a flood of people coming from those areas because they say they're fleeing gang activity. What, your people in Chicago flee Southside because of gang activity? And also, the U.S. government has given hundreds of millions of dollars to those countries in order to shore up their police where they can have the ability to curtail the crime. But yet and still, you still got people fleeing the country. Or are they being coerced to come to the U.S.? It doesn't make sense. Are you aware of the perks that illegals get when they come here? I'm going to read 20 of them off to you. They have what's called a refugee medical assistance for 8 months. They have a reception and placement grant, pre-arrival reception, initial housing, $1,850 per refugee, cash money, food, clothing, referral services and social program, benefits, eligibility, 3 months. They had a temporary assistance for needy families, eligibility, 5 years. Medicaid and SHIP benefits, 7 years. Social services, SSI, food stamps, state children's health insurance program, SHIP, 7 years. More social services for 5 years. Cash and medical assistance program. Free K-12 education. Illegals. Refugees. Emergency medical care. Children with special health care needs. Substance abuse services. Mental health services. Immunization. Women's and children's health services. Public health. Emergency medical services. U.S. Bureau of Justice Assistance State Criminal Alien Assistance Program, SCAP. And guess what? And guess this one here. They are, if you have refugees that come and go to the state, pick any state, let's say the state of Texas, they are allowed to go to a state university and pay resident tuition. A black child coming out of the state of Illinois go to the state of Texas, they got to pay out-state tuition. And they are legal citizens of the United States. Out-state tuition is double what it is for resident tuition. And Trump wants to stop that. He wants to make America first. It's totally ridiculous. And I'm glad to be one of the black males of the 13% that voted for him in 2016. And I'm not afraid to say so because nobody holds a job over my head like they do other people. Can you imagine that? I mean, I forget your name, sir.
You can just call me Professor Washington.
Professor Washington, did you teach at a university?
Yes, I do. I teach at Augusta University in Augusta, Georgia.
The University of Georgia.
I'm sorry, say it again.
A university there in Georgia. Residents in the state of Georgia can attend that university and pay what's called resident tuition. But if you stay outside of Georgia, you got to pay non-resident tuition. Am I right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. But let me just interrupt you for just a second.
Quick.
I don't know if you heard me. Let me just interrupt, Ms. Priyanki. we're about to get cut off because I only set the time for tonight's show because of my schedule today, and I probably won't never do this again, but I only set it up for an hour. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to go back into the studio administration and add another hour, but what that's probably going to mean is everybody wants to continue the conversation, and I do. We'll have to, in about 5 minutes, call back in because we're going to lose this slot, and I'm going to have to get another slot, which will be right away. So call back in if you want to continue the conversation because I do want to hear the rest of this dialogue and be able to have other people participate now that we got it going. So do me one favor, everybody. I'm going to be backing out of here for about 5 minutes to get the extra hour that we need and call back in about 5 minutes to the same number that you call, and we'll be back on. So we're going to take a quick break. And during that break, just think about what you want to say concerning the topic. And the topic is still the same, even though we've had a lot of different views. Does President Trump stopping the issuance of low-skilled workers' visas for Haitians represent white racism? I didn't say if it did. I didn't say if it didn't. I just want us to talk about the issue. And, of course, Ms. Bianca, it's obvious that you don't feel like it does, and there may be some agreement, maybe some disagreement, but let's have a discussion. So call back in, everybody, in 5 minutes. Take a little break and call back in. We're going to have to go now, but we'll be right back, all right? Thank you, everyone. Thank you. We're going to be right back.